I'm just saying, have you ever seen Chris and Spider-Man in the same room?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Do you get it? Like, we're not even sure that he's not Spider-Man.
Oh, man.
There's always a chance.
That's nuts.
And we can't, never he's thought. Always on the phone, so right. Maybe he's out shooting webs. Rude. I don't know. It's wild.
It's a good theory.
Good thing to think about.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a race recap. We had an intense downhill for the Eastern States Cup. Chris is going to get on the phone with us. We're going to talk to him real quick about that. I'm Eli.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Rob.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. And on the phone is Peter Parker. Peter Parker, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
What's up, Chris? How you doing, man?
Doing fantastic.
Hell yeah. Ripper of a weekend, Jiminy Peak.
Yeah, absolutely. It was intense downhill series number two. Jiminy Peak always provides probably one of the gnarliest courses we'll have all year. It was one that was really well received. We're a little bit worried going into it that people were going to give us some hell about it, but Everybody loved it, and they kind of want to do it again. So that's great.
That's awesome.
I was disappointed it didn't rain.
Oh my god. So we had actually it was one of those things where we had advertised that we're doing roll-on awards because we originally said it was going to start raining like right at race time. So like, oh god, so we're like, all right, nobody wants to be hanging around doing awards in a thunderstorm. But as the day went along, they just kept pushing it back. So it might have been the first time we've ever had a dry race at the meeting.
Break tradition,
huh? Jiminy Peak sounds so unsuspecting. It sounds innocent.
Yeah.
It's not.
Oh, just come on down to Jiminy Peak.
it's steep, let me tell you. The very start of this race, you basically, it's like a straight sprint for like 20 feet, take a 90-degree left into the woods for like 50 feet, and then it is just a straight down shoot.
Nice.
And it was collecting some bodies this weekend, but man, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I saw some highlight video that looked pretty good.
There was some carnage.
There's like a lot of people hugging trees.
Yeah. I think one kid actually took a tree out with like his face.
Yeah. I saw somebody get slingshotted. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it was, I think it was Steve the photographer, his Instagram account. He had some stuff there where I think he was like washing out and he went to like grab a tree like you normally do. Mm-hmm. But he didn't quite get the grab, so he got like the tree like right in the like goggle area. But it was just like, it was a small tree, so he ended up like taking the tree down with him. It was pretty impressive though.
That's awesome.
Tree to the face.
Brutal.
Yeah.
So the second one of the series, so people are starting to, you know, build up points. We're starting to see people shake out for where they might be through the series, or people that are fighting into that, you know, top five, top three spots. But man, for pro men, still just on an absolute heater. Estabrook. Holy fuck.
I know. I feel like we talk about him every weekend, but man, it's impressive what he does. He had sent me a message on Instagram before the weekend started because he had smoked a deer with his van. Ooh. So he was he left his race plates in his van. So he's like, oh, dude, can I still race? I was like, yeah, I'm just going to get another plate on you. But I didn't end up seeing him at all, like all weekend. And I was like, oh, Steve's not here. And so, no, he came over, he registered, he's up on the hill. So he didn't show up till Sunday to get like a few practice
Dang,
runs in.
Man.
And then he still goes out and takes the win by almost 3 seconds.
Yeah. God. Looks like he put 2.5 seconds into Dan O'Connor, who's not slow.
No, I mean, if you look at the split times that we had, I mean, Dan, that top sector, like I was talking about, the really steep one, he was like 3 seconds behind Steve, and that was kind of the race there because he beat him in sectors 2 and 3. So whatever Steve's having for breakfast, I want some.
Yeah,
it's probably fresh venison.
Oh. Wow.
That's good.
Just saying.
That's, you know? Yeah, nice. I mean...
Looking through, I mean, yeah, like you said, Dan had some mean splits in the middle. Steve took the last one. But Dylan Conti, even though he came in fifth, still took that top section, looks like by a full second.
Yeah. So Dan, I would say Dylan. So when he's out there doing his races, he also does coaching for, I think it's the Stowe Mountain Bike Academy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's splitting time between getting his practice runs and also coaching these kids up. So, man, he's pulling double duty and still out there crushing it.
That's awesome.
Yep.
You guys did a single crown class, right?
We did. I almost get in on that, but I got a few practice runs in on Friday, but then all day Saturday was running reg, and then I had to run seating, and I just didn't get enough time to get out there and get any laps in before race day on Sunday. But yeah, no, we had a growing group of single crowners come out, and they still put down some wicked fast times themselves. So
looks like our board Tanner took the win. We saw him out on Arrowhead a couple weeks ago.
That's
awesome. Congrats to him. Let's see, pro women. Man, pro women were mean.
Yeah, so I think Maisie Hayden had her shoulder repaired in the off season. She's got a gnarly scar on there, and it seems like that shoulder is holding up well because she put a hurting on the rest of the pro women's field.
I would say it's holding up well. Yeah, 23 second gap.
She had a line somewhere in there, or something. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. So cool. Congrats to her. And then coming in fourth, we had Caitlin Parento.
Yeah.
So she was. Go ahead.
Oh, has anybody checked out her artwork? She's quite the tattooer. I think we need tattoos here at the shop, don't we?
Rob was talking about getting some tattoos, and he's like, maybe we can get Caitlin to do it.
Yeah, well, we can interview her about how her race season's going as she's giving Matt a tramp stamp.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Just what I need.
We'll reach out. If she's listening, hey, hit us up. We're ready to get Matt inked.
My first tattoo is a tramp stamp. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, of like a pickaxe or something.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
We'll make it happen.
Or a face tat. That would be, I think that would fit you.
A face? Oh, like on my Mike face?
Tyson? Yeah.
Nah, yeah.
If he does ESC.
Yeah, does he get free entry if he has ESC right. tattooed face. Under his eye?
I'm pretty sure we'll make that happen.
There it is.
Nice. Sweet. That wraps up Jiminy. I mean, it seems like it was a cool race. How are the downhills compared to the showdowns? Is it easier, harder? How's that on your end?
Well, for my end, I'm usually running the enduro side of things, so I'm always booked up for that. I mean, it's a lot of work, usually putting, like, you know, 300 plus people
right.
through registration, making sure all courses are good and all that stuff. But we got a great team that puts these things together. So, but yeah, so when it comes to actually doing straight downhill, it's a lot of fun for me because I can get out there and do a few laps on course, and it's a little more relaxing for myself. But it's fun.
That's what it's all about too. Like, you know, I say this to the guys here at the shop, you know, don't forget we do this because we want to ride. So, you know, you can put together a really good race, but at some point, you know, you maybe drop some of the details to go take a lap.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
hey, what was the turnout? You'd see a lot of beginners show up to this race. What was the feedback on that? Or is this the veteran hill?
Yeah, I mean, Jiminy's one of those places that, you know, has a reputation because it's, you know, almost like those Platico days where the people who showed up and the people who loved it and the people who don't show, you know, they're worried about getting their bikes and bodies beat up. But,
right.
So I think we had about 170 showed up. And I don't think the forecast helped us any because trying to ride Jiminy in the wet would have been so steep. It's an adventure, I'll say that. So, sure. Yeah, but we got a lot of great feedback from this one, and I think the numbers will go for the next.
Sick.
Speaking of the next, we're headed to the Loaf for a showdown.
Yes, we are, and it's one of, for the Enduro, it's one of four EWS qualifiers in the United States.
Sick.
So we see a lot of people traveling from all over coming to try to grab those EWS points. So the pro men's field is full of like heavy hitters from like all of the states and Canada. So
that's awesome.
That's going to be real interesting to watch.
You could say it's a main event.
Oh. Rob with the puns. All right, right? Sorry, man.
It looks amazing. It looks very loafy right now. Much. I meant loamy. Loamy.
You need to stop.
Oh, loamy. Yeah.
We've seen some pictures of what they've been working on up there, and it looks like it's going to be a good race for sure.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, Adam Craig does some amazing work up there, and he's got the Loaf crew producing a bunch of new stuff on the downhill.
Yep.
So we did four stages for the Enduro last year. I think we got five this year.
Awesome.
Nice.
So something brand new for everybody who shows up, and it's one of my favorite places for sure.
we've been reaching out to Adam, want to talk to him about what he's building up there. He says he's busy right now. I'm like, with what? What are you doing, man?
Yeah,
what could possibly take
you? You have an EWS coming? Like, done? What?
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, we know how that is too.
Next weekend.
Takes a lot of work to get that stuff going, and you know.
I don't doubt it.
And
getting ready for the main EWS show here in August too. I'm sure he's got his hands full.
Yeah. And I think once you put that EWS stamp on anything, whether it's a qualifier or a full strength event, you really want to show off what you can do.
Yeah.
You know, when we had it come through Claremont, it was like,
we had a lot of pressure on us last year to get that stuff done.
Cause you want it to be cool. You want everyone to show up, be like, this is awesome. So nice. So the loaf next weekend, that's exciting. Being a qualifier. Yeah. There's probably some pretty good names.
Yeah, so I know Adam Morse, we talked about last time, it was mm-hmm. 2 for 2 for the Enduros he entered, and he's going to have a full slate of guys gunning for him this weekend. So it's going to be real interesting to see how that pans out. We still got a few other people, because I know I think the BME event was canceled due to weather, because they're having some nasty weather out there.
Yeah, Big Sky.
Yeah, so I think some of those racers who plan on doing that are now coming to the Northeast, so it's going to be pretty rad.
Nice.
It's so cool how these qualifying events, they're really important to some riders. We sat down and talked to somebody the other day that was telling us that he got some points gathered up, and he's got a whole plan to head overseas, man. He's going racing. Justin Legassi has had a nice conversation with us, and the Arrowhead points put him over the top last year, and he's over the moon.
Yeah.
Yep. So we've seen a lot of racers this last past couple of years. A lot of our regulars doing the same thing. Like, you know, the EWS was kind enough to grant us a whole bunch of qualifiers. They trimmed those way back because apparently we qualified too many people. But it's pretty awesome to see. And, you know, people come back grateful that we hosted these events to give them the opportunity to go overseas and do that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's also good for the, you know, just the Northeast race scene too, to be pumping out people that are on the world stage.
100%, yeah.
Sick. Awesome, man. Anything else to add from Jiminy or the upcoming weekend?
Actually, I just wanted to give a shout out. Parker Downing, his mom Bunny started working with us this year. He picked up his first ever win in the G15 and under class. So
that's awesome.
Nice.
Give him some props.
Congrats, and, dude.
Yeah, he's been on a heater the last couple of times. He's been doing both enduro and downhill. So I believe this was his first win he ever got. So
that's awesome. Congratulations. Cool.
That's sick, man. Congrats to him. Hopefully he continues on that warpath.
The Groms are getting quick, man.
They are.
Dude, it's scary. It's scary how fast they
are. I saw a video of some kid at Highland, 10-year-old kid, that I think Will Conroy posted. He's doing like sick slope style stuff. At Highland.
Oh, I was like, saw that.
What? 10-year-olds.
Off the cliff drop?
All of it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like way bar spins, like knack-knacks. Like, I'm just like, wow.
I'm still working on my wheelie.
Right, I know.
We'll get there. Awesome. Well, Chris, thanks for dropping in. Sounds like we'll talk to you again next week and do a recap from Sugarloaf.
Sounds good. I'll talk to Caitlin, see if we can get that tramp stamp going.
And, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome,
looking
man.
Forward to it.
Fresh canvas.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Don't forget to stay up to date on any Eastern States Cup stuff on their gram at Eastern States Cup, or just on their website where you can see results and register for future races. Cool, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Beautiful. Take care, fellas.
All right, Chris. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Dude. Boys, I think we should keep something rolling here. I'm feeling the momentum from this morning. Chris has got me all fired up. You guys want to play a game?
A game?
Let's play a game.
I like
Saw game or
Wait,
like
what? A Saw game? Like
a, I want to play a game.
Oh, like, yeah, don't lock me in a room, please.
You're already locked in, dude.
Ah, shit.
How about
the game.
Yeah, let's play a game of this or that.
This or that.
This or that.
Okay.
Fire out some questions to each other and
okay.
And you have to make a choice.
So you're asking the questions.
I think we should all ask each other questions.
Okay.
I could probably come up with a couple questions.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to start this game?
Now, are they just about biking, or are they about whatever we want?
I mean, it's kind of what the mountain bike,
yeah, I mean,
dirt church,
yeah,
MTV all right, podcast.
Sure.
Let's do it. Brainstorm real quick, and Who wants to kick it off? Anybody got a question?
I think you should kick it off because you're the one that came up with this.
All right. So, first question, Eli, you first.
Okay.
You have to make a choice. You ride after work.
Okay.
You don't work here. You're a businessman. Business casual.
Oh, business.
I'm business casual.
No chamois or your street shoes.
Ooh. I mean.
You forgot one of those things.
Like street dress shoes.
You're wearing
your penny loafers.
Oh, I mean, that's
to the office.
That's what I usually bike in. So, there's no way I'm a chamois guy.
Really? You're picking chamois?
No, I'm going to wear a chamois. Absolutely.
You're just going to suffer in those hard soled.
Dude, yeah.
All right.
All right.
I don't want to not have a chamois.
Okay.
Matt, where are you going?
Well, it really depends on where I'm riding.
I mean, you're riding your mountain bike. You're taking a rip in Cornerstown Forest.
I'd probably go without chamois.
No chamois?
Yeah, because I clip in, and I don't know how to ride flat so well.
Oh, it's easy to stand on them.
Oh, thanks.
That's it. You push down, and you don't pull up.
Yeah, I'd go without chamois. I'd suffer.
I'm a shoe guy. I would rather ride pantsless and have a nice pair of shoes on my feet.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean.
Me too.
Oh, man. I'm not.
Yeah.
Maybe not pantsless.
Balls out. Fully. That's me.
Okay.
Yep.
Huh. Well, I'll keep my bits okay. catered
where
to.
They need to be.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I have a question for you.
What do you got?
Let's see. How about you're going to go for a ride. You don't have Kush Core.
No Kush Core.
No Kush Core.
Right,
too much tire pressure, way too much tire pressure, or way too little tire pressure. So 50 PSI.
Oh, shit.
Oh, jeez.
Or like 8.
No Kush Core?
No Kush Core.
I'm going. You want me to go first?
Go first, yeah.
I'm hard.
You're hard?
I'm going hard.
Okay.
I probably would too. I mean, that's just the better option. Like,
make it out. I don't know. Would you make it out alive?
Yeah.
50 PSI?
Yeah. Be all right.
Yeah. That's
roll
like
fast.
That's like bike shop Andy.
Dropping into the Jiminy Peak downhill.
Yeah. Remember,
oh, shit.
First time me and Eli met Andy, this is kind of off topic in a way. I was like, what are you running? We're at Highland. Like, what are you running for tire pressure? She's like, 50. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What? 50?
It was hellion, though. You can get away with
that. Yeah, he's like, you gotta keep your speed, man.
I was like, someone should check on this guy.
So, we know his answer.
He's fast. I don't know, man. That is way too low, and that is way too high. I think I'm still running it stiff.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the way to go, because...
I mean, you're gonna save your other parts. Like, you're gonna wreck your rim at 8 PSI trying to ride anywhere.
Right.
And you're just gonna roll that tire off the bead no matter what. Yeah.
Like, you're gonna slide up every root and crash into trees.
That's I mean, at least 50, like, you're gonna bounce a little bit more, but just
a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a bounce. It'd be like a basketball in your rear.
Yeah,
yeah, it'd be fine.
It's gonna be rough.
It'd be interesting.
All right. What about you, Matt?
What about me?
Anything?
Let's see. So, okay. I mean, this one's. I think I know you guys' answer on this one because my answer is the same. But dropper post on a full rigid bike or rigid seat post on a full suspension bike.
Mm.
I can't ride without a dropper post. I'd ride a dropper post on a unicycle.
can you do that?
Is that?
I'd find a way.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know if that's possible, but
okay. So, going back to like 2000, I don't know.
Yeah, we're not talking
10.
We're not talking like
you got a dropper post. You got like one of the first dropper posts, and I thought you were dumb.
You did.
I was like, "You're stupid, Matt."
You're like, that's a dumb idea.
No one, wants that. No one needs that.
Yeah.
Screw you, Crank Brothers, for ever making the Joplin. And then here we are, 10 years later, and I'm like, I think I'm gonna go with rigid bike with a dropper post.
Absolutely.
Cause, you know, I think having your ass way up in the air is just
a dropper
not
post
cool.
Can make any bike go downhill better.
Yeah.
I remember
even a gravel bike.
I was the only one, the whole group, I was like, everybody just wait, I gotta fix my seat. Hang on, hold on. It was like riding a Scutney, so every 5 seconds.
You still do that, though. You're still very, very picky with your seat
position. I'm sensitive with my saddle height.
Yeah. dude will wreck his balls with no chamois, but if his seat's not at the right height, he's
like, wait,
pissed.
I gotta raise it 1 millimeter. Like, come on, man.
It makes a difference.
It does.
Does it?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
All right. Moving on.
You got another one, Rob?
I do.
All right.
All right. Loose over hard pack or muddy slop?
Loose over hard pack or muddy slop?
That one's easy.
For you, you come from the land of loose over hard pack.
Right. Yeah, I got very used to that for a while. So I'm going loose over hard pack. But it's still really, like, it's not, it doesn't make it better. It's just, if you ride it long enough, it gets more predictable. And you're just like, okay, I just know I won't have any traction on this.
Yeah, I'd probably go mud.
Me too. But just, I had a terrible experience in California on loose ball bearings, sand.
Yeah, it's wild.
Massive exposed cliffs. And
I feel like you can predict mud more than you can predict loose over hard pack.
Yeah. I was in a race one time where the mud was, it was this next level type of mud. It was, it almost felt like someone just rubbed like marine grease on a quarter mile of trail. And it was like...
Yeah, there's nothing in... I keep going back to this race at Victory when it just fucking poured on us and it was a mudslide the whole fucking time. But, like, you knew it was going to be slippery. Like, loose over hard pack, it's like, you don't know when you're going to slide.
Mm.
Yeah, you do. It's all the time.
But, like, it's, mud, yes. Like, you could actually see the mud you're going to go through. Like, you know that's going to be slippery. Yeah. You'd be like, all right, like, just let the bike go where it needs to go.
I forget which stage it was there, but everybody was dropping in and crashing immediately.
Last stage.
I crashed.
Stage 5 or 6.
Landed on my back, never let go of my bike, and I was super fast.
I did the
slid
same
right
thing.
Down the back.
It was literally a mudslide.
Yeah, and you just accelerating down the hill.
You're, like, man, holding your bike on your chest and just like, whee!
I had a pretty good finish.
And then there was one spot on that race that was it was like a riverbed. And there was just a stream of water going down the middle of it, and that was the best line.
I mean,
there was no mud.
We'll post a picture of Matt and that. I have Matt.
Yeah.
Nice. He probably looks so good.
Oh, yeah. Matt always looks good in pictures.
I looked terrified, I think, in that one, because I probably was.
This is a nice little game of would you rather.
What do you got, Eli?
Okay. What's a bigger flex? Climbing miles, like tons of climbing miles, or a large total mileage for your season. So you get to, you know, late October, November, your season, your standard bike season is kind of wrapping up. You look at your Strava and you got 100,000 plus climbing miles.
100,000?
Yeah, I think that's doable in the
climbing
season.
Oh,
or climb, not miles, feet. Sorry.
100,000 feet.
Yeah.
I leave my Strava running on the lift.
That's not good.
I don't know.
100,000. That's totally doable.
I don't Strava anything, so...
Okay, pretend you did.
Matt's not flexing.
I don't have anything to flex, so...
Big mileage or big climbing?
Probably mileage.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm going big ups, so... Because it... I mean, then I had big downs. That's what
it's
I
true.
Like.
Yeah.
That's true. But I mean, you know, I don't know.
Big mileage is impressive because it's like you've... Sometimes I'd look at, you know, my mileage at the end of season big. How far is that if I was to just bike in a straight line across the country? Where would I have ended up? It's usually somewhere in, like, Nebraska. It's terrible. But, like, that's, you know, 1,000 miles maybe in a season.
1,000 miles on a mountain bike is a lot of miles.
It's a lot of miles. I really like riding my bike. Mm. Big fan.
But, I mean, yeah.
But that being said, too, like, you know, climbing tons of vert is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Can you imagine climbing tons of vert all at once?
I don't like to climb.
No, we should talk about that with somebody that's done that.
Yeah. Someone out there.
All right. Moving on.
I got a good one. Okay. Creaky bike that runs perfect or quiet bike with a smoke drivetrain that's just not shifting well and just like,
oh,
rickety cricket. I'm going with a noisy bike.
Really, dude? You are the one that complains about every single little like creak that your
I
bike
know,
makes.
I know, but my shit's dialed.
You thought you broke your bike in Moody Park because it like made a pop or something. You're like, it's broken.
Yeah,
ooh, that's a tough one because creaks are super annoying.
So is shifting badly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know because like, I've washed my bike recently, and it's now acquired a creak. and I need to find the creek, and that's annoying, but it shifts well. I don't know. I think I would probably take the creaky bike, but I hate it. Like, I hate when you're doing a climb, it's a long climb, and like, every pedal stroke is just it like gets in my head that I'm a piece of shit and I'm super annoying.
Especially when you own a bike shop and you're like, fuck, my bike's creaking.
Right. Yeah, you feel like an idiot.
You're like, oh man.
No one's going to that shop.
Mine's the only bike that's creaking in this whole ride. Like, shit. What they don't understand is we have no time to work on our own bikes.
Right, there's a lot of bikes to work on. I'll just take a back seat. So, yeah, I guess I'll go with creaky bike, but I'm not happy about it.
I think I would, too.
I'm not happy about it.
I think I would, too.
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you got, Eli?
Gaps or drops?
Ooh. I'm a drop. I'm going to drop.
I think so, too.
Drop it like it's hot.
Drops are, you look at a gap, you're like, ooh, that's, like, I could fucking die. A drop, you're like, I could, you know, I'm just.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all subject to.
How big are they too? Like,
I used to be drops. Like, drops were more comfortable because you usually didn't have to carry as much speed. You know, like if it's a drop right off of something, if there's like a gap out from the drop, that changes it a little bit.
Right.
But like over the years, I've become a gap guy. Like gaps. You like trail gap, like fast in the trees, maybe over a little stream.
Okay. Yeah.
New stream guy.
I need to hit that.
It's so good.
I gotta hit that.
It's so good.
I keep seeing videos. It looks so nice. I'm just.
You towed somebody in. Somebody shot a video from.
Yep.
Thursday night?
Yep.
And the hooting and hollering.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that. Not big, but that little skipper is.
I gotta take advice from that friend of ours and do what he said.
Yeah, look down the trail.
I'm losing as I get older. I'm like not looking down the trail for some reason. I don't know what's going on.
Wait, for any listeners here, we built a little stream gap. There's a little stream at the bottom
brook.
Of there.
A little brook
gap.
It's a brook.
And we get done digging, and then it was like drawing straws for who's going to hit this thing because it looks sketchy as hell. But it
doesn't look sketchy anymore.
It looks nice.
It actually looks really nice.
I signed up because I was like, if I just tell everyone I'm going to do it, I'm going to have to do it.
Mm.
But it was smooth.
Cool. I think I'm still drops over gaps.
Okay.
I do like
drops. If it's a tabletop, I'm good. If it's a gap, there's a little bit more consequence there.
It's the gap that gets you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is true. Like, if you give me a 20-foot table, I'll hit it all day. But if you're like, okay, line up for a 20-foot double without, you know, just drop into it, I'm going to be a little more hesitant.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the backside of that landing, you're like, shit.
Yeah.
But... Mm. But you know you can make it every time.
Yeah.
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 Okay. All
right.
Rob.
Next question. Ready? You're on a big ride, Matt. No water, no tools. Which choice?
No tools.
No tools.
Yeah. I do it all the time.
All right. Yeah, we're talking big ride. Like, you're...
I do it all the time.
How big?
An entire day, 50 miles. You're in the Kingdom Trails.
Yeah, do it all the time.
50?
50. You could drink out of that little pump thing at the top of.
Yeah, but I still want a water bottle, man. Like, that's a lot of miles without having water. Like, and that's only at one point.
So you could get water along the way, but you can't have it with you.
Can't have it with you.
Okay.
You can get Giardia and drink out of the brook.
Oh, nice. That's great.
Beaver fever.
I would go no tool.
I do this thing where I often fill up my water bottle, put it on my bike, and carry it for an entire ride. Don't drink any of it. And then I have a full water bottle at the end. Mm. So, I also don't carry tools with me. Mm. I should. Someone always has tools. I hate to be that guy. But, like, now it's less like, hey, does anyone have a tool? Because so many people we ride with have a tool in their steer tube or, you know, like, it's
in their bike.
It's part of their bike. They didn't have to remember to bring it. And I don't think any, you know. You don't have
to. No, so, are you water or tools?
I think I'd rather have the water with me than not.
Yeah.
Because, a tool, that's another thing. A tool, you can just wait, you know, where you are. You might see someone on the trail and be like, hey, man, you got a tool? You can be that guy then.
Since COVID, nobody's letting you drink out of their water bottle.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, man, can I get a pull on that?
No.
No.
Yo, let me hit that.
Definitely not.
Dang.
I don't know if I would anyway.
Yo, dog, can I hit your vape?
You know, the question is different. No water or no beer.
Right. That's easy. All right.
Okay. Who's next?
Okay.
Speed round.
Speed round. Matt, would you rather ride a bike that's too big or too small?
Big.
You want a bike that's too big?
I'd figure it out.
Okay.
I'd figure it out. Yeah, that's probably the right answer. I mean, so, yeah. It's probably easier to shorten a bike a little bit, make it come down.
Where are you riding, right?
Normal riding. Like, okay. Normal, like, trail riding.
Yeah. Back in the day, I was used to downsize the DH bike.
Yeah, and that was the stupidest idea ever. Like,
downsize
it? Yeah, I would always ride a smaller bike than
more,
normal.
More maneuverable.
I could throw it around, I thought, you know?
Huh.
And I just look like a frog on a lily pad all the time.
Yeah, I feel like, if anything, you'd want to go bigger for, like, a more stable bike.
You do now. Yeah,
I mean, it worked for a while.
I would definitely size up.
That's why you can't trust trends, because everyone's like, go bigger, go smaller. Like, maybe I should just ride the fucking bike that fits me.
That's a fact.
Damn.
Okay, yeah. No, I think if you had to choose, too big is probably the way to go.
All right. I got one. I think Matt's got a banger for the last one.
Yeah, absolute banger.
I might.
Okay. Would you rather, I'm going to start with Eli, be off the front and waiting for people, or off the back and trying to catch up the whole ride?
Yeah, I mean, up here in the Northeast, if you're off the front and you're waiting, you're also getting eaten by mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're off the back, because we're all dicks, when you pull up to the, where everyone stopped,
we out.
Everyone you rolls.
Get no rest.
So you don't rest, but it makes you a stronger rider.
Does it? Because I am the one off the back.
So Matt, would you rather be the guy off the front?
No.
Then you still want to be the guy in the back?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I don't.
You know why? Because I know that, you know, if you guys still want to ride with me, I know you're suffering getting eaten by mosquitoes, and I'm not.
He's laughing.
So I don't give a shit.
Really, Matt's pacing us.
Matt actually stops right before you can come into visual contact.
You never really know.
Yeah.
What the fuck's taking him so long?
I'm like, fuck these guys. They're going to be that. If they're going to be wanting to ride that fast, they're paying the price.
Yeah.
You're buying us deep for Christmas.
Right.
I would, oh man. I've been off the back for a long time. I don't mind that.
I don't care about being the fastest guy. Mm. I really don't.
Being the fastest is everything.
You know what I don't like is being the guy off the back and then dropping in and being the guy that wants to go by everybody on the down.
That's
rough. I mean, but you got to earn it, right? Yeah. So it's like, you just accept your position and you
but
go.
But sometimes the guys that are the fastest going uphill are generally not the fastest going downhill.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes, yeah.
That rule can. We were riding with Gavin the other day. And
it really depends on who it is, but there's a lot of times where the guy that going up is not the fastest going down.
He was trying to carry a conversation with Gavin Vaughn the other day going up the hill, and I am trying to have a conversation. I'm trying to play it off like, yeah, sure, I can ride this fast and talk. And he is way dumbed down. He's sitting upright. He's I'm look over like, you know, his heart rate monitor is probably not even like registering.
Your Garmin's like, would you like us to call the hospital, sir?
I'm silencing the heart rate alarm. Yeah, man. It's fun. Let's ride bikes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Let's wrap this up.
All right. We got work to do.
So I got one last one, and it's a banger.
What do you got?
Would you rather
in the parking lot
drink a milkshake out of your shoe or chili dog off your chamois?
Holy smokes. Is the dog in a bun?
Well,
no, the chamois is the bun.
Oh, dang.
Oh.
Have you ever drank anything out of a shoe?
Yes.
No.
My shoe?
No.
There's some nasty toenails, man. I don't know.
I drank a beer out of my shoe one time.
I really have no idea what I would do. I'd probably rather do neither. But if I had to, probably milkshake.
Wow.
Ultimate flex. I'm lapping up that dog and I'm washing it down with a milkshake.
You're hungry and
yeah,
thirsty.
I'm hungry and thirsty.
I feel like next week on the food truck outside the shop, this special is going to be chamois dog.
The Dirty Frank.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
The Dirty Frank, you got something.
Good.
All right. Jesus.
I guess we should tell them why we didn't have a guest on this week again.
I really hate doing this.
I know. We're learning, though. We're still learning.
We're learning. We're just
14
kids.
14 episodes in. Yeah.
We did
have a guest.
We had a guest. It was awesome.
It was a sick episode.
And we're going to get him back on. We just got to work out some logistics. But our SD card had fallen on the floor and gotten stepped on, and wouldn't register, yeah. And it sucks because I think that's the second time we've had something stupid happen to our content. But
I think we're gonna have a backup audio.
Yeah, we're gonna work on that next time. But we were still able to do the recap, so you're getting a shorter episode this week, not by a ton, but you get the recap. You get to listen to what we would rather do in certain situations. So
I think we want to hear what you'd rather
do. Yeah, send us some ideas.
Yeah, yeah. Slide into those DMs.
Yeah,
come on. At Dirt Church MTB. You know, let us know. Are you taking the chili dog? Are you doing the milkshake? Let us know if you have any other good would you rathers as well.
Yeah, we'll post them up on the Instagram and we'll share them.
Yeah, you can give us the answer.
And if you have a video of either of those things happening, send them to dirtchurchmtbpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
We will see you again, or you'll hear us again next week for another recap after the Sugarloaf race. Go ride your bike. Looks like there's some rain coming in the forecast. Get out there, shred.
Peace. Yeah.